Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Joe and Jeremy Show. They are out. Well, they're once out all day. Jeremy, of course, takes the day off because it's Friday, and that's what he does.
He takes off every Friday, it feels like.
What's that?
It feels like Jeremy takes off every Friday.
Once I got in the rotation of fill-in guy, they're like, you know, Fridays look pretty good having off.
You know, we really should just update the imaging for like a Friday show because it's going to include you most weeks.
Just have me as like a ghost in the background. That's all we need to do. Joe George is going to join us here allegedly at 3:08. He's been out helping the kids, you know, grazing the youth, making this a better country. Shout out to Joe George for doing that. Let's obviously talk about the Texans. They're home this weekend, the final game of a three-game homestand, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team they lost to in humiliating fashion already this season, kind of how they've lost most of their games this season, humiliating fashion. This was one.
It's too much negativity to start the show, Will.
All right, bro. Okay, you know what?
Too much negative.
Let's jump into this.
You media types, you only want to talk negative.
I have a list of offensive stats here. Let's start with the good.
How many are negative, Will?
All but one.
Okay.
Every single one of them. You know, what do you think their best offensive stat is this season? And it's actually very good. Very good.
Net punt return?
No. Legitimate. I'm not even being a jerk. It is an offensive stat that matters, like truly matters, and they're top three. They're third in the NFL.
Completion percentage?
Nope. Like even more important than that. You would think that if you are this high on this category of stat, that the other stuff would fall into place and you're a really good offense, because every one of the ones that are top three or top five are elite offenses in the NFL.
It can't be. Is it yards per play?
Nope.
Points per
no, possession? This is fun. This is going to take the whole show. Maybe
just tell me. I don't want to go all the way to 3:08 when Joe joins us.
I was thinking we might have to go to 6. Time of possession.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like you would think, if you have the ball for the majority of the game, you're doing something right with the ball.
If you're scoring in the red zone, that's the problem.
Or converting third downs and first downs, like you're not even doing that. So I don't even know how they're doing it. I think honestly, it's so skewed by a couple games, which are a lot of their offensive stats. A lot of their offensive stats, if you remove the Titans and Ravens game, and I know you can't do that. That's not how this works.
I think you can. I mean, let's be real. That's like a top college football team playing an FCS opponent.
Honestly, like they scored 70. The reason I feel comfortable doing it and I don't feel like a cheapskate is because they are back-to-back games, two of the worst teams, if not the worst teams at the time in the entire NFL, and this offense scored 35 points a game in those two games. 70 points total in those two games. So we know that's not their offense. We know it had more to do with the opponent than it did with the Texans. So, like, I don't mind moving those things, those two games. But their whole season, they're averaging time of possession 32 minutes, 41 seconds. That is third in the NFL. If you look at the list of the best TOP in the NFL, the Bills are up there. Not all the best offenses, put it that way. All the best offenses are up there. And then you look at every single other stat in the offensive category. They are 20th or worst, if not 24th or last or wherever. Like, they are just horrendous. So you think if they have the ball, do something good with it. They just hold on to the ball forever and don't ever really do much with it, unfortunately. And the worst is, of course, their red zone scoring. 36.36 percent scoring in the red zone.
I mean, they've lost five games, Will, and in those five games they've lost, they've scored a total combined of four offensive touchdowns.
They have three rushing touchdowns the entire season.
Yeah, it really is. I think sometimes people overuse the a term like an historic, you know, a historic failure, or like, oh, this is bad on a generational level. Like, this offense is performing at a level that I don't think I've ever seen in the NFL.
And dare I say, you multiply it because you actually have a Super Bowl caliber of defense.
So yeah, maybe time of possession being what it is isn't good. I'd rather have the defense out there because they can
make
some plays.
Ain't that right? Like, get rid of the ball, dude. Like, get rid of it. Let your defense go score. You're scoring 21 points per game with all of their games included. That's 24th in the NFL. You remove the Tennessee and Baltimore game, 16.3 points per game. That's 29th in the NFL. So, that's akin accurate? With the Panthers, the Falcons, the Jets, the Browns, the worst offenses that we make fun of. It's like, who named the quarterbacks on those teams? They're journeymen. They're not any damn good. We have no idea what to expect. They're horrible. I mean, this is an offense that has Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud. And what we think might be playmakers in Woody Marks, maybe Jalen Knoll.
If he played.
So that's like another thing.
Harrison Bryant got more snaps than him last game. British Brooks got an equal amount of offensive snaps last week as Jalen Knoll.
I think far too much about the Texans in my, quote, off time. Like, I just go, like, I go through all.
You bringing work home?
Yeah, like I do. And then I got to go down to, like, the studio I created for my show, Kicking It with Kunkel, and I rack up all these ideas in my brain of, like, the stuff that I heard at the podium of the week. And Nick Cayley's stuck out with me on some stuff that didn't get attention. One thing that did get attention is the fact that he was asked what the identity is of this offense. A question, by the way, that has now been asked 3 weeks in a row, and that's not a slight at the media. That's a slight at the fact that we have no idea what the identity is. DeMeco Ryans 1 week says the identity is moving the ball, but they don't actually move the ball. So that's not even your identity. Then last week he says the identity isn't good enough. Whatever it is, it's not good enough. And then Nick Cayley this week says they're a downhill physical running team. The team that just got stuffed on the 2-yard line several times on over against the Broncos.
Yeah, I would suggest that they shouldn't try to be a downhill physical running team because, I mean, I can't remember who I first saw this stat from, but everyone has talked about it over the last week. The Texans are the only team in the entire NFL without a touchdown from the inside the 2-yard line.
Oh, no.
Or is it rushing touchdown specifically?
Yes, but let's get better than that.
Okay.
I found this one today. They have ran 10 goal line plays inside the 3. They don't have a touchdown or a first down on any of them. They're the only team in the NFL to achieve that elite achievement. They don't have a single first down.
No.
They don't have a single touchdown. This is a team that identifies itself, air quotes, as a downhill physical running team. And then I have to sit there and watch Thursday Night Football and watch the anemic Raiders offense run the ball down the throats of the Broncos on the 1-yard line. Granted, it was the only touchdown they scored in the entire game. They couldn't protect Geno Smith worth a damn. But all it took was the Texans to get one of those. And they couldn't pull a guard. They couldn't pull a tackle. They couldn't move a body. They did nothing against the Broncos, and yet the Raiders can do it.
Yeah, no, that is frustrating. It's frustrating to watch them do something that we could clearly tell they're not capable of doing and just bang their head against the wall because they think they should be able to do it. I mean, DeMeco's quote, I don't remember, I'll paraphrase here, but basically he said, you know, when we're down there, we have to push guys off the ball. We have to knock their bodies back, and we have to force our way in. Like, okay, cool, if you have the personnel to do that, but you clearly don't. And almost like kind of tinfoil hat conspiracy. Remember what happened in that Buccaneers game, Will, in week 2?
They had
a goal
plays?
Line possession where they went like 3 straight passes.
Yeah.
And everyone
– Four straight.
Was it 4 straight
I
passes?
I believe so. People, it was 4 plays at least.
Yeah. And I know at least the last 2 were passes because they threw like the stop-and-go fade route to Nico, and they threw the rollout to the left. I forget who it was intended to, but it went out the back of the end zone. And then like 2 weeks later – D'Amico gives up his defensive play calling so he can babysit the offense. And then it goes from that, like four straight passes in the red zone, to what we saw last week where they keep trying to run fullback dive and quarterback sneak from the 2 yard
line.
But
with British Brooks, like,
yeah.
So everyone wants, or some people want Breece Hall. What are you going to do? Not give it to him as well? Like, what role does Breece Hall have in this offense? You don't give it to Woody Marsh. You don't give it to Nick Chubb. You give it to British Brooks, not once, but twice. Like, what is the role for Breece Hall to also not get the ball? You don't give the ball to Nico Collins in the second half, your best playmaker by a wide margin. You don't get a single target to Jalen Knoll, a guy that you're admittedly saying is a good playmaker and you got to figure it out. Like, that's your job, dude. Your job is to make sure. Okay, can you pull up the sound of Nick Cayley that I sent in to you guys?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, run this sound and then I'm going to react vehemently to it.
You know, you try to find balance. That's the question. You know, was it, you know, is it perfect? No. Do some games dictate in situations in different groupings that you might go a different way? Sometimes it happens like that. We you know, we have a lot of confidence. We talked about the depth of the receiver position. We've got a lot of confidence in all those guys. So we try to create balance so we're not wearing anybody else out. We feel good about the depth of the outside to inside and the flex guys. And just trying to, you know, obviously get whoever we can out there that's going to help us from week to week. And you know, sometimes it gets a little more lopsided than you want. And sometimes you get it closer to how you envision it going into the game, but nothing's perfect, and you know, we're always striving to get our guys involved. We got everybody at the game. We're going to try to use as many people as we can to help us.
Okay, maybe you don't need to use everybody. Maybe some guys are at the bottom of the depth chart for a reason. You don't have to spread it out. This isn't Mom Domi's New York all of a sudden where you got to take away from Nico Collins, your richest best player, and all of a sudden give it to a guy that doesn't deserve the damn ball. Like, we don't need everybody involved. Let's get the ball to the guys that are your best players. And when you say all of a sudden, like, sometimes that's the way the game goes. I get that. But it's your job as the OC to make sure you dictate you have the game going the way you want it to go so you can get 12 involved, so that you can get Jalen Knoll involved. You're the offensive coordinator. You dictate how the game goes. There was no Patrick Surtain. Joe George, I heard you're in here. Man, talk me off this ledge, dude, because I found another thing to gripe at.
No, I'm with you. I've been with you since Monday. I mean, I looked at the Jalen Knoll not playing, and I just didn't think it made a lot of sense. And I think, frankly, the touches across the board haven't made a lot of sense this season. To hear that clip and just like, okay, so what are we going to see this weekend? Like, you got everyone back, but are you going to, you know, you got to get guys the ball who are open, who've been good. I don't quite understand what Nick Cayley was saying there. To be honest, well, like, I don't think you're on a, you're more than welcome to be angry about that and Nick Cayley and what he's doing, because I think it just compounds to the stuff that we've been talking about, you know, throughout the entire season on Swarmcast every Thursday. It's just like, it's frustrating, all of it. And even when, like, and I know a lot of talk about is the wide receiver position, but I think about the carries that were happening at the goal line last week and who was getting them in short yardage situations. I think I'm just anti anyone that's like British or Britain, because I got to deal with two of those in my lives now, one in Chicago and one in Houston. But like, it doesn't make sense. I don't know, Will. Like, I don't know what they're doing, man. It doesn't make any sense.
And then it's akin to hearing a coach say, well, the other side gets paid too. Okay, well, so do you, man. And your best players have to get the ball. The Texans have the best defense in the NFL, yet the elite Seattle Seahawks and Sam Darnold found a way to get Jaxon Smith and Jigba the ball to a tune of 14 targets, 8 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. But Nico Collins goes touchless in the entire second half in a game you lose by a field goal, in a game where you had 7, 8, 9 plays inside the red zone, 6 of them from inside the 2, and you thought the best way, the best play that you had in your bag to get the best player the ball was a jet sweep that was called back from holding that gained an entire yard? It doesn't make sense. I say this on my show all the time, Kicking It with Kunkel's. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. That's the crazy part, is that it continues to make zero sense, Joe.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, how far down the depth chart is Nico Collins for you, Will, in terms of guys you want to see running a jet sweep?
Oh, I don't know. Anywhere. Do I need to see anyone running a damn jet sweep on the goal line? But Nico Collins, I have 1,000 other things, to your point, that I want to see him use that big body in the end zone. Not going backwards, by the way. That's what an end around is. It's going the other way.
Yeah, I mean, you give it to Knoll first. You give it to Xavier Hutchinson first. Like, I don't know. It's bad play calling, and it's only going to get worse this week. And I know we're going to talk about that throughout the show, Will. But, like, it's the fact that you're going to have to roll out a game with Davis, the neck Mills at quarterback. You don't have a right guard or a right tackle in this game, it looks like. I can't imagine what the Nick Caley special is going to be this weekend. It just – I don't trust them.
If football is football,
why are we going backwards with your best player if you're a quote-unquote downhill running physical team? None of it adds up. Coaches aren't on the same page. Players aren't on the same page. The identity doesn't make any sense. And, Joe, we talked about it on the Swarmcast, and I've said it on my show. This has been a healthy offense. They've had everybody. Everybody that Nick Caserio told us not to worry about has been healthy. We've got the whole offensive line. We got your starting quarterback. You got the whole wide receiver core. In and out, yes, with Christian Kirk and Nico Collins for one game. And I know we missed Joe Mixon. That's it. That's the only real injury that we've had. We've been healthy. There's no excuses. Now we don't have our starting quarterback and starting right tackle.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse, frankly. Like it's not going to get any better, and no expectation for Joe Mixon to return this season. And look, I think they're in a different position than they are right now, frankly. Like if they do have Joe Mixon, I think these one-yard carries at the goal line, I would imagine they convert one or two of them throughout the entire season. And unfortunately, they just haven't been able to do it. And how they game plan from here, I mean, this is a challenging task this weekend with a veteran, you know, play caller. Even if it was Bobby Slowik just in year two, but to now be at a point, Will, where you're missing all those guys, and you've got a first-time play caller, his first time really calling plays for Davis Mills, a guy that I think we have to, you know, remind people they chose Case Keenum over in two years ago. Like for a reason. But they paid him nonetheless. Like he's a backup quarterback. He's a backup quarterback for a reason. He's probably a pretty good one, but it's not going to be pretty. And Jacksonville, like they're banged up too. So like I don't even look at injuries as an excuse again for this with this game, except for the fact that you're missing your quarterback. So I know we'll see. Sunday's going to be I feel like it's going to be a snoozer.
Bro, it's going to be. I think the over under is like 8.
I mean, well, it was 37.5.
Yeah, you would have told me. That's crazy.
I would imagine it's dropped a little bit. Like with
the
Brian
Texans
Thomas Jr.
are home dogs to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
What Davis is Mills, happening?
Davis Mills versus Trevor Lawrence, the game of the century, coming up on Sunday. Can't wait.
And one quarterback's by far better.
Like, Davis?
I know you're not a Trevor guy, but
what's
I mean,
up, Trevor?
He's sub Trevor. Oh, my God. What a rant that was.
It was awesome.
Whew, what a beauty queen. I mean, all right. I don't know where you are in your cloudy days.
Not where Bill O'Brien's at, typically.
The sun is up.
Say.
We're positive.
Oh, Bill. Oh, I miss Bill O'Brien just for that reason. All right. We'll take our break here.
You know what? We're starting to get our little bit of D'Amico rants and frustration, by the way. We've entered that phase of his career.
Scoffs. Yeah. He's a scoff machine.
Yeah, he scoffed at me for asking. Yeah. You know what? We'll get into what he scoffed at me.
He rolled his eyes at you, Will.
Yeah. He gave me the idiot.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what that exactly was about, Joe, coming up next. How about that?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Will Kunkel hanging out with us today instead of Jeremy. Feels like since Jeremy wasn't here, no one made fun of me for being late today.
I wouldn't say that.
I was hoping you were being. I was shaping the minds of our future.
That's the problem, Joe.
I said
I don't know
that
you the
were helping
we want
the youth.
For the youth of America.
Yes.
All right, Brian, you're taking over the internship program that I'm starting next semester. How's that sound, B-Mac?
Uninterested.
He's going to bring him to the bar.
I mean, most of them are 21. We did leave like two bottles of alcohol on the table for the other day, and I hope one of the interns took it.
Is that what the vodka was?
Yeah, it was just like they were cleaning out one of the closets, and they left it there.
Just had a bottle of vodka around.
Yeah, I mean, you go through our promo closets. There's lots of goodies in there in all the different closets, I would
say.
You
got the key, B-Mac?
No, but Joe and I used to work at a place where they literally had like half of a floor that was completely dedicated to a bar for the sales staff.
Oh, yep. Really? What was this, in the 60s?
No, this was like Well, I left there in 2014, so I don't know if it, how far it went past the time I left, Joe. But
it was still there when I was there. For, yeah, the Bartini Lounge was still a thing at one point. But yeah, Will, you D'Amico rolled his eyes at you. Will, yeah, I mean, it was look, it's been contentious with the media in a lot of capacities. You know, it's been kind of strange to see this turn. And you know, you talked about this and, you know, kind of made me recalibrate how I thought about his responses. And because I get why he's frustrated. You've pointed out, you know, to me, Will, like this is a guy who for 2 years now has been answering the same questions about why the offense was bad and who should be calling plays and all these different things. But you asked D'Amico a question about Nick Caley and if he was going to still be calling plays. And, well, he didn't like your response.
No, he didn't. He didn't like... I didn't even have a response. He asked me a rhetorical question. I said, is Nick Caley going to call plays? He goes, why wouldn't he? I mean, is this an open conversation or not, Coach? Because I got a couple ideas as to why he shouldn't. I don't know that there's anybody else in the building to call plays, though, because you didn't hire anybody that had experience calling plays. And that's been my biggest criticism since you hired Bobby Slowick and Nick Caley, is that there was no one next to him that you could turn to help him if he struggled. And I think it's fair to say Nick struggled. Would you agree, Joe?
Struggled? That might be a nice way to put it. Let's hear the response here from D'Amico. So this was his response to Will's question the other day.
For another repeater, will Nick call plays this weekend?
Why would he not call plays?
You heard in the beginning. Can you play that scoff again? Because here's what happened. Someone else asked a question that hadn't been answered. So D'Amico was asked the question. He didn't answer it. So someone else asked it again. And he was, like, frustrated with that. And I said, okay, well, let's play the game of the repeater then, because you didn't answer it when I asked you earlier the same question.
For another repeater, will Nick call plays this weekend?
Why would he not call plays?
Because he sucks!
I missed the scoff the first time. We have a scoff counter. There's a whiteboard in the studio. I think we're going to have to – that's what we're going to put on it. The D'Amico scoff counter is going to go up behind one of us. Yeah, I missed that the first time. Like, I think it's a valid question at this point. And now, look, there was a little bit of an altercation last night between Pete Carroll and a special teams coach. But we saw, you know, in the last hour, the Las Vegas Raiders fire their special teams coach midseason. Like, these changes do happen. I know special teams coach versus offensive coordinator are different, and – you know, I don't know who would even call plays, but I do think the, you know, just even asking, you know, based on the way they're discussing the offense is, yeah, it's totally valid to ask that question. And he can scoff at it, but, you know, he's scoffing at everybody.
Listen, to D'Amico's credit and to kind of Nick's credit as well, when D'Amico was asked what the identity is of the offense last week, he said it's not good enough. And Nick Caley yesterday was pushed back on this whole execution thing. And like, what does execution mean? Because they keep saying execution and it's a veiled response to say the players aren't doing their job. Mm-hmm. The players aren't doing what we're telling them to do, which is your hand placement, your foot placement, your job, whether you're strong enough to move a body from A to B on the goal line. So execution is like as a veiled kind way of saying the players suck. But then he was pushed back on, well, what if like the preparation, this hypothetically speaking here, Nick, of course, what if the coaching isn't up to par? Then what? And Nick says, well, if you're implying that I'm not taking responsibility, I am. I am absolutely taking responsibility. This is my fault as well. This is all our faults. The coaching has to be better. The preparation, the game plan has to be better. So to their credit, although it seems like that's an empty phrase, like we got to be better, what they're saying is the coaching hasn't been good. The coaching is not good. The players are not good. That's what they're saying. So we kind of – they're saying it in a veiled press conference-y coach-speak way. But that's what they're saying, to their credit, is that they stink.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken a little bit, though, to get here to this point. Well, yes. Like, it feels like there has been some, you know, as you said, some kind of, you know, vague, you know, shots at the players and the execution process of everything. And that's from short yardage situations to special team situations. Like, it's – it always kind of felt like to me so far this season is the coaches were like, well, like, you know, I always felt like even when they said like we're close, felt like, well, like the reason why we're not over the line, why we haven't crossed that line and really been able to win these games is because the players have failed. And they have. The players have failed to do their job. D'Amico's right. You should be able to push bodies and get 3 feet and get into the end zone. They should be able to do that. But it's also on the coaching to not be able to, you know, come up with a different plan and try different things. And and have this position where you as a head coach and general manager decided to put together, you know, an offensive staff that was the same as last year, which actually will, like, I'll be honest with you, like, the more this is, like, the season's going on, it's starting to bother me more. That it's not just Nick Caley. Like, I think I would be more okay with the Nick Caley struggles if there was also other fresh bodies in the organization that were, you know, no offense to Gerard Johnson, but the quarterback coach, the offensive line coach, the passing game coordinator, all these different things. Instead, you basically do to Nick Caley what you did to Lovie Smith, which was make him inherit a staff that was not his. And not that I expect Nick Caley to have a bag of coaches to go out and hire, but I think it's added to why the frustration within the fans, the questions within the media is that you didn't change anything except for the guy calling plays, and it's honestly, I think it's worse than last year.
It's worse. It's definitely worse, man. Like,
yeah.
I think the players are not as good either. Obviously, Joe Mixon not being in the building hurts as well. But you mentioned the work close aspect, and I think the reason early on you can say you're close, and now it's because you said also it's taken a while for them to get here. Yeah, because, you know, obviously you don't want to say we're not good enough in week two. You can say, like, that game wasn't ideal, but you're close. But here's the interesting part about this cocktail, if you will, is that going into the season, the expectations were high. You had high hopes. So you have this cocktail of elite defense, what you hope your offense is going to be. So when you're losing games by single digits, you are close because you have this key ingredient of expectations and hope. Now we're starting to get to the point in week 10 where there's no identity, the expectations are being lowered, and the hope is all but gone, and reality is starting to set in. So yep. Now the whole cocktail is being changed, and the ingredients here of the words that are being said at the podium are different because you no longer are close. We see how far you are away, and because the expectations and the hope are entirely gone, and reality is now in that drink, that's the difference right now in the words from the coaches because they see it. They know the players aren't good enough. They know Nick Caley can't get it going. The reality is there that this offense sucks and that the defense is being left out to dry right now.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, watching kind of in and out of last night's game and where the Texans are versus the Broncos, the team you just played, and, like, they win 10-7. Bo Nix is terrible. Their defense is elite, but they're just finding a way to win all these games, and they've got a great record on the season. They're going to be a playoff team, but the Texans just haven't been able to get the little things. It's the clutch plays that feels like is also ultimately what's missing, and that's where I think the players have been, to me, the biggest letdown. Let's get into a little bit of the game coming up this weekend. I'm just curious from your perspective, Will, like what you're looking for in this game or and the listeners as well. You can let us know at 713-703-776. Are you looking for wins? Are you hoping for tanking? Are you hoping for just improvement of some kind? Like, what are you looking for in the game versus Jacksonville in the Texans season going forward? It's Will Kunkel, Joe George, Brian McDonald here on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No Jeremy Branham today. It's Joe George, Will Conkle, Brian McDonald here with you until 6 o'clock. Talking to the Texans. We'll get to the NFL. We'll talk some quarterback situations going on. Kyler Murray probably took his last snap for the Cardinals, it seems. We'll talk about teams that, you know, need a quarterback already for next year. We'll talk some Astros, some Rockets. We'll get to all of it today here on the show. But Will, I ask you this. What are you looking for now at this point in the Texans season? Are you focused on trying to get wins and, you know, keeping your playoff hopes alive for as long as possible? You know, staying on that in the hunt graphic? Are you, you know, a lot of people like want full tank, just get the best draft capital possible going forward, just, you know, weekly improvement to see if Nick Caley's the guy next year? What are you looking for? The rest of the Texans season, starting with this weekend against Jacksonville?
So, first of all, I'm always a firm believer that you don't really tank because that's a nasty culture and a disease that can get inside the building, and I think that's bad. Like, you don't want that in there. Plenty of teams have tried it, and they can't get rid of that taste because players go through it, they see what it's like, and then they lose all of that fire and that energy that they should have going out to play an NFL game. So I think, especially in the NFL, it's hard to truly tank unless you want to trade a whole bunch of players. And then the guys you have, they go out and give it 100%, but they're just not good enough. Now, the Texans are in a spot where they don't have young players. They don't need to go out and get a quarterback either. They don't have anyone they want to turn to. They don't have an old veteran quarterback that they're going to bench and let's see what we have in the young buck and see if that's going to be our future. They don't have those guys. And the guys they do have are part of their rotation in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, but also are not part of the rotation and don't get touches. So I don't even know how they go about it. And good luck asking this defense to go out and try to tank a game. So I think you go out, you try to win every single game, you stay in the hunt, you stay relevant, and see if things fall your way. Like, the goal that you want really at this point is Nick Caley figures it out. You hope that Nick Caley can become a good offensive coordinator. And that's why I'm anti-firing him right now, because it's not fair to have Gerard Johnson or Bill Lazor or whoever call plays in Nick Caley's system. They would want their own coaching staff. They would want their own system. They would want to go about it from their way from day one. So you don't even get like a real, you know, temperature, if you will, of who's ever calling plays because of the situation you've put them in. And so let's see what Nick Caley's got. This season is now dedicated to Nick Caley's growth. That's what this season is about, to see if he can do it going forward.
Yeah, I'm with you. Before I kind of go into mine, we just got the official injury report for this weekend. It's lengthy. Out for this weekend, officially. Jalen Petrie, C.J. Stroud, Kymie Fairbairn, Jacob Johnson, Christian Harris, Ed Ingram, Titus Howard. So officially this weekend, you'll be without your nickel corner, you'll be without your kicker, your quarterback, your right tackle, and your right guard. The Texans just tweeted that out minutes ago. So that's a lot of those we knew were coming. It felt like inevitable that you're going to miss the whole right side of your offensive line. You're going to see, you know, Blake Fisher out there. I don't even know who's going to be at right guard in this game. It's going to be brutal for Davis Mills, and that's where, to this conversation, like, yeah, I don't think they're going to tank. It's not D'Amico's nature. Frankly, I don't think they have to tank to lose most of their games the rest of the season.
Like, they've done a fine job at losing games.
I don't think they're going to just, like, start magically winning a bunch of football games, especially with these injuries starting this weekend. So, the answer is improvement. The answer is improvement and development. That, to me, is what matters the most going forward. Is how does Nick Caley improve the second half of this season? Because, you know, Jeremy has said multiple times, like, he feels like Nick Caley is going to be back next year, that he'll get a second chance as the OC. I don't want to see that, but it wouldn't shock me if that was the decision they made, if they're confident in their hiring process and they feel like this year is just bumpy, but year two would be better under Caley. Feels like that's on the table. So how much does he improve, you know, from now through the end of the season? Can they figure out creative ways to score on the goal line? And then, you know, development on the offensive side of the ball is also, outside of Nick Caley, is what matters the most. Is what does it look like for Noel and Higgins? What does it look like for Ariante Irsary at left tackle? That, to me, is, though, the biggest change I hope we see is the development focus at this point. Like, if you're not going to win, which they're not going to, Christian Kirk, to me, Will, should not be on this roster. Let him go. Let him go find a playoff team that's desperate for a wide receiver, that needs someone to come in. Let him get signed up elsewhere, you know, sign a late season contract, be a part of a playoff push, and play your young guys. What does it look like the rest of the year? Maybe we'll see a return of Kate Stover at some point. Let these young guys play and just develop, because if you go through the season as status quo and these guys don't play, like, what do you get out of this year? Besides it being a total failure, like, at least if you can get an answer on Caley and Higgins and Noel and Irsary, you have answers for some of your questions going forward. So that, to me, is what I'm looking for every single week. It's not about wins and losses. It's about development the rest of the year.
Yeah, and it's all about Nick Caley and the developmental part. Like, you mentioned not putting Christian Kirk in there. When he missed time, Braxton Berrios got the snaps.
I know. So,
like, I know. I don't trust the coaching staff to give the ball and involve the guys that need to be involved for the development of the future. I don't trust them to put the guys in and give them the ball that help you win the game in the moment that you are standing there on the field for. So I just don't think they're going to go that route. I think they have a plan in place that is, they give the ball to, I don't know what the hell it is, but it's certainly in conjunction to what they're trying to do is actually win games. So it doesn't actually make sense. And listen, man, they're not going to tank, and it's tough to figure it out. And do you think Nick Caley is a dead man walking, or do you think, because a conspiracy theory I thought of the other night is that there's so much talk about this execution and lack of execution, and then he does it D'Amico's way four straight times to run out the gut, and he's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. This is not my fault. This is the player's fault. This is the line's fault. They are terrible. It's not my fault. Don't fire me, please.
I don't think he's a full-on dead man. Okay, if I was the owner, if I was Cal McNair, which glad I'm not, I would say he's a dead man walking. I would not have any consideration of that he's going to earn his ability to stay on as the OC next season. Now, to D'Amico giving up plays and being more actively involved in the offense, like if this is a stubbornness thing from the Texans, that's my other concern. Like if it is D'Amico saying, hey, Nick, these are the plays you're calling on the 1 yard line. Like we're going to run the ball up the gut and we're going to score. Like that to me is concerning. So I
but in defense of that, Nick Caley had the opportunity against the Buccaneers and completely blew it. He wasn't able to get it. Like, so he's failed his way. They've now failed D'Amico's way. The least that Nick can do is become a yes man just to save his job.
Yeah, but I don't want him to save his job, Will.
Right. I'm just saying from Nick's standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, it's you have to do what your coach wants, and that's why I feel like the game plan hasn't changed and their philosophy hasn't changed much. And you know, even like the playing the rookies is interesting. Like I thought the back and forth with Landry and D'Amico was interesting because he scoffed at Landry when asking about the young guys playing on defense and how well and how quickly they were integrated into the scheme. Like think back to last year, Kamari Lassiter was corner two before training camp. Like he had barely even been a Houston Texan and he had won the job. Yet these receivers can't get on the field, and we saw Tank Dell get on the field pretty much right away. I mean, John Metchie, when he was healthy and cancer-free, was actively involved in this offense at times. So it's, I don't know, like it feels like they're following the Patriot way with not playing rookies on offense, and I don't get it. Brian?
It is a little bit apples and oranges, just to defend D'Amico a little bit on that, because I don't, and again, I don't know if Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noll know the whole playbook. But no one's kind of alluded to that, which coaches usually do. It just seems like an ineptitude from the offensive coordinator and coaching staff as a whole to make sure that you dictate the way the game goes, that you are in charge of who's playing, who gets the ball, what the snap count is, and not to be overwhelmed by the moment to where, I'd like to get so-and-so more snaps. But you're so out of touch and not in control that you haven't done it. That seems like it's the problem. Versus even, it doesn't even seem like they're trying to not play them, because sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. So it doesn't seem like it's we want to play them a bunch or we don't want to play them a bunch. It seems like, yeah, they would like to play them more, but they don't know how to do it, as if they don't know how to call plays.
Yeah, what you guys have both mentioned kind of hits on a fear. They kind of marry well together, and they kind of hit on a fear that I've had, because when they hired Nick Caley, I think a lot of us hoped in, maybe in some cases, or assuming that it'd be more of the Rand style. But Joe mentioned kind of, you know, the Patriots way of not playing rookies. And Will, you mentioned like maybe not grasping the playbook. That's kind of the knock on the Patriot playbook, that for quarterbacks and wide receivers, it's really hard to learn. There's so many option routes. We heard that in the offseason. A lot of option routes where the quarterback and wide receiver have to be on the exact same page. I think you're looking at a system that it may be too difficult for the rookies to grasp early on, maybe especially with Higgins. It feels like Higgins has barely played. Noel's barely played also. So, I mean, not that this make an excuse for the players, but it feels like this could have been or should have been an offensive system that was easier for the young guys to grasp and get integrated into much quicker.
I hate that, and I hope that's not true, obviously. The thing I will say is that we can all see that Nick Caley hasn't been very good from a game plan standpoint and a play calling standpoint. We can all see that the offensive line has been the issue. And when you have those two things being the biggest issues, everything trickles down from there. Everyone's going to look bad. C.J. Stroud looks bad. People want to get rid of C.J., even though he's actually played pretty well, in my opinion, in spite of the bad offensive line. There hasn't been any playmaking from the wide receiver core because C.J. doesn't have time. The running backs haven't been consistent. So I think it all starts with Nick, and then it goes to the offensive line. And without those two, like, just forget about it, man. If you can't move a body a foot, in what world do we think that they're going to be able to pull a guard or a tackle in order to make a block on the outside edge to get a guy in from 2 yards? Like, just keep it as simple as possible. But here's the crazy thing, guys. There's no identity, and it's week 10, which is bad. Well, we still have, what, 8 games to go? There's a lot of football left for as much football as we've played without an identity.
They got an identity.
Oh, boy. Here,
move the ball.
Yeah, move the ball.
Or not be good enough, which is
which, by the way, I mean, not to call out everyone asking the questions for not pushing back, but moving the ball isn't an offensive identity.
Bro, that's what literally I did a whole breakdown.
That's literally what every team is trying to do. That's not an offensive identity.
I did a whole breakdown on Kicking with Kunkel. I said, the goal is to move the ball. The identity is how you achieve the goal. Like, yeah, the goal is to move it into the red zone and then into the end zone. The identity is how you achieve said goal.
Yes.
Do you do it via the air raid? Do you do it on slants? Do you do it on a whole bunch of dink and dunk screens, runs, inside, outside zone, whatever it might be? That's your identity. Now we've seen they have no identity because they don't do anything well, very clearly.
Yeah, their identity is being bad at football right now. All right, we'll take our break here when we get back.
Offensive football.
That's true. Offensive football. Great correction there, BMAC. When we get back, we'll get to Julian here on the other side. We'll continue this conversation. We'll get into some of the biggest news going around in the NFL. We'll get to all of that coming up here. Will Kunkel, Joe George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So Texans not doing offense very well right now, not doing anything well right now, but I could tell you a place that does do something very, very well, and that's Burger Chain. They make the best burgers in the entire city of Houston, and I've been spoiled here. Their restaurant is literally right downstairs from our studios here at 5353 West Alabama, and I've been able to enjoy their great food since I started working here for ESPN 97.5 in 2022. But please, join me, join everyone here at the station that loves it. Lance loves it. He's speaking for them as well, and try out the best burger place in town. But, you know, that's kind of the thing. Like, they are the best burger place in town, but they don't only make great burgers. Every meal is prepared from scratch. All items on their menu are made in-house, including the fantastic scallion aioli that I always get on the side, using only the freshest ingredients and made just the way you want it, including awesome breakfast sandwiches, which you can order all day long, by the way. I literally cannot do a Saturday bullpen show here at the station without starting my day with their bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwich on a sweet sourdough bun. Just, I'm getting hungry thinking about it. It's so damn good. You usually get it with a side of spicy tots. Highly recommend it. And you have plenty of time to try it for yourself because they've extended hours to include lunch service on Mondays and dinner service now Wednesday through Saturday until 9 o'clock. But pro tip, you should find out for yourself how good their sandwiches are on Mondays in particular, because for the rest of this football season, Burger Chain is partnering with us for Victory Mondays. So when the Texans meet the Jaguars this weekend, stop by Burger Chain on Monday and you'll get a free side with your entree, order a burger, one of their great chicken sandwiches, the fried fish sandwich, which I've had, it's great, hot dog, falafel, or that breakfast sandwich I mentioned, and you can get a free side. They got fries, sweet potato fries, tots, spicy tots, fried cheese curds, all those free if the Texans win. Curly fries as well. Just stop by to claim yours if the Texans win. Stop by on Monday. Remember, this Monday, Texans beat the Jaguars. Stop by, mention my name, Brian, mention ESPN 97.5, or just say, go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Burger Chain, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama, and see their full menu at BurgerChainHTX.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Joe George, Brian McDonald, Will Kunkel hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. Talking some Texans right now. We'll get to the NFL stuff going on. We'll talk about Kyler Murray, as Jeremy says, the current greatest athlete in sports.
Shots, explosives, you can run.
Bench warmer now. I think you lose that title when you get benched. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, though. Let's go out to talk with Julian. Julian, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? So I'm going to preface this with I really, really, really dislike the four-hour ESPN main nationwide morning show, but I have to listen because I drive, right? I don't have anything else to do, and Fox Sports is not entertaining, whatever. So Dan Orlovsky, and this goes to your point about, the offense, move the ball. Everyone wants to move the ball, okay? So Dan Orlovsky shed some brilliant, brilliant analysis yesterday. He said the way that Denver wins the game yesterday was they have to score some points and stop the opposition from scoring. And they were like, yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks for telling us what football's about. Now, going to the Texans, you guys want to jump, you want to get throw Kaylee off the ship, right? Now,
nope.
I think y'all did that hold on.
No, you hold on. You told us what we wanted. Right? That's not what we want. We do not want Nick Kaylee fired.
My bad. What I should have said is there have been talks in the fan base and of grumblings of maybe we need to change this play caller. What about Eric Morris, head coach for North Texas? He is he has that freshman walk-on freshman looking like a Heisman candidate. He at Washington State, he had a high-flying offense. At Incarnate Word, I think he had Cam Ward, I want to say, both places, Incarnate Word and Washington State. The guy just produces offense. And it may not be, conventional, but it's new, right? It's somebody new, but it's still somebody that has called plays before. I don't know what you guys think about that. My bad for insinuating you guys wanted to do something.
You lied.
Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Julian. Appreciate the call. Man. Look, I think that's an interesting name to throw out there, frankly. Like, I think
it's outside
look
the box, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's pretty locked in on Mike McDaniel right now, right? And it's that's the guy that everyone wants to hire. You know, he has to get fired first in Miami. I am, you know, curious if they're honest about what they put out in their press releases about him getting let go and or firing the GM first and then letting him ride out the season, because it felt like in a way they were saying this is a roster construction problem, not a coaching problem. I disagree, and I think ultimately they will fire Mike McDaniel. That's the guy we're all assuming or wanting to be the next offensive coordinator if there is a change. But he's got to want to come here too. And like he's going to have opportunities to be, you know, the offensive coordinator, whether it's here or if a defensive head coach, you know, minded head coach gets hired by the New York Giants. Like he could go be the OC for Jackson Dart if he potentially wanted to. So like he'll have options. So you have to think outside the box. I like it. I mean, the Texans interviewed the offensive coordinator last year from Syracuse. Obviously didn't make that hire. So like it seems like they're open a little bit to it. I just need a more thorough search if they make a change. That's my biggest request.
I don't know I don't know if I want a more thorough search or I don't want to search at all. Like go get,
or maybe just a search that doesn't include John Carroll.
Just go, yeah, that too.
Yes.
Get Mike McDaniel, right? Like it seems like the obvious hire, and I've said before I don't trust the fact that just because it seems like the obvious hire to us, it may not even be the right hire, who knows? But who knows what they're going to end up doing. Eric Morris, if you go with Eric Morris, I want someone that's done at the NFL level. So, again, my opinion will be if you hire Eric Morris, hire somebody next to him that has called plays in the NFL. Joe Brady did a great job with the greatest players on earth when he was at LSU, then tried to become an OC at the NFL level with the Panthers and struggled mightily. He was fired midseason. Then he goes to the Bills, becomes QB coach, interim OC, now OC, and now he's being talked about as head coach opportunities. So that's kind of the way you want to go about it. And my biggest thing, and Joe has heard me talk about this a lot, and I'm sure people have as well on Kicking It with Kunkel, is not every OC job is the same. Going to the Panthers, going to the Falcons, going to the Browns, going to the Jets is not the same as going to the Texans. Or the Giants, for that matter, to Joe's point. Like the Giants have to figure a lot out. They got to figure some things out. And the Texans do too, but they have a Super Bowl-caliber defense. They are close in that retrospect. It's not a complete teardown. It's not an utter mess where you can come here with that elite defense and you don't actually have to be that great. You just can't be the bottom of the barrel in the NFL. You have to suck less. Just suck a little bit less and you have a chance to win a lot of football games here if they're able to keep everybody intact on the defensive side of the ball, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's suck less was good for this year. Next year they need to be good.
Like, that's a big leap because they sucked more.
Yeah, but if you can find the what you had, you know, in CJ's rookie year, and then the things from last year that were working well, which wasn't a lot of things, but there were things that were going well within the offense, and then you take a step backwards, and then in year four of CJ Stroud, you can take I would think a big leap forward if you can protect him and put a good offensive line out there and you know, use your draft capital wisely. I think you could be a good offense next year, but it starts to me with a coordinator. Like I'm more open to a college coach, especially one that is a, you know, a texter pointed out here, a Cliff Kingsbury disciple from, you know, was with him at Texas.
Hell with the disciples stuff. Give me the guy. Like, give me the guys.
Yeah. I mean, he's proven it. Like, it's just, I would imagine he's probably going to want a big college job first, if anything. So,
you kind of answered it. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just so people know, we're not in the same room, so that's why we keep stepping on each other. You kind of answered this. Would you rather them fully revamp the offensive line successfully or go out and get a home run offensive coordinator?
That's an interesting question. I would say get an offensive line. Because if you have an offensive line, you're
like anyone can call a dive, right? With a good offensive line.
Like you're above 500.
With a good offensive line.
Yeah, like you're above 500 this season if you have a good offensive line. If you have
you might be over 500 with this offensive line with an elite OC.
I think CJ can make even a poor offensive scheme look good if he's protected and has time. So I would go with the good offensive line. If I could only choose one.
So if
I hate to limit myself. Like, good teams just do both. But if in this theoretical world, I'll take the good offensive line.
Can't we have two good things? Can't we have nice things in Houston?
Apparently not.
No, not allowed. Only allowed to have an offensive line or a quarterback or an offensive coordinator. Can't have them all at once, guys. Those be the rules, it seems, for
be the rules.
The Houston Texans. All right, Kyler Murray, local kid. Got benched.
He's
injured, apparently. Maybe he is injured, but he's on injured reserve.
I see you using air quotes on your camera there, Joe.
I'm using air quotes because he's injured.
There's no way. Why would they bench him? He's better than Jacoby Brissett.
They said they were going to bench him if he wasn't going on IR.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon actually went on a Phoenix radio station and said he was being benched regardless.
Yeah.
Yo,
so Kyler Murray feels like his time as the Arizona Cardinals quarterback could be coming to an end. We are halfway through the NFL season. How many teams in the NFL right now can we identify that already need to fix and find a new quarterback going into next season? We'll do that next year with Will Kunkel, Joe George, Brian McDonald on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.